Yes, sir.
Amen. A little boy, I remember when he used to sing, just a little boy. He's getting older, and I'm getting older. Somebody said, boy, that's bad to think of it like that. Well, no.
It's working
out. It all depends on the condition you're in. Can I say that again? It all depends on the condition you're in. So we're blessed to have him tonight. I'm going to ask him to come now, do what God leads him to do, and conclude the service tonight. God bless you, brother.
Amen. Love you. Appreciate
Amen.
You.
Love you.
Step your staff.
All right, let's read in the book of John, chapter number 2, Gospel according to St. John, chapter number 2. Share with you just a little bit out of this passage of Scripture. It is a blessing, such a blessing, to get to be back at camp meeting. I thank God for the privilege of being able to be in this service tonight and to get to sing with this choir and to get to hear the preaching of the Word of the Lord, what we've already heard today. We've heard enough preaching absolutely to save the world if they'd pay attention to it and heed the Word of God. And it is just for me, it's just a privilege just to get to be in the presence of Brother Dixon and Brother Willis. They've been such a blessing to me, and they'll never know the profound influence that their lives and the way that they carry themselves, the manner in which that they shine their light, and the manner in which that they conduct themselves as ministers of the gospel has had an impact on my life. And I could not express the way that I appreciate it. I appreciate men of God that show you not just how to be a preacher, but how to be a man of God. And I thank God for that good influence, and I praise the Lord for it. Such a blessing to have all of you that's come to be a part of this meeting. There's folks from all over that's here, and I'm thankful for that. Some made a good trip with us over this way, and they come a long ways to have to hear me preach again on Friday night. And they get to hear me preach a lot. But I appreciate them coming and helping us in this meeting. My, what a wonderful thing it is to be able for a couple days to get aside with the Lord and to worship God. And I'm thankful for these days together. John 2, verse number 1, the Word of the Lord says, "And the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee. The mother of Jesus was there." And by the way, never miss this when you're reading through the Scripture. "And the third day," you already know something special is about to happen. Soon as you see the third day, 3 is the number of the Trinity. It's the number of the Godhead. It's the number of the resurrection. It's the number of the new life. And on the third day, God is about to do something. Every time you see that in the Bible, when you see that third day, it was on the third day that Esther gained access after 3 days of prayer and fasting, that Esther gained access into the king's throne room and had the golden scepter laid down unto her. It was on that third day, while all of hell thought that they could rejoice, it is that third day when our Lord rose from the grave victorious over death, over hell, and over the grave. And I'm thankful for the third day. And to the Lord, it is on the third day where we find in John 2 where the Lord performs His first miracle. And He's still performing miracles today because of what happened on that third day. Amen. And both Jesus was called and His disciples to the marriage. I wonder, is Jesus welcome in your marriage tonight? Is Jesus welcome in your home? Have you requested His presence in the middle of your family, in your family circle? Is He welcome at your family reunion and around to your supper table when you sit down for bread? Has Jesus and His disciples been called into your marriage? Is the man of God welcome around your dinner table? Are the people of God welcome as a part of your life? Do you love God's people and do you love God? I tell you, if you do, my friend, God will work good things in your life. When you invite Jesus to be a part of your family and you invite Jesus' disciples to be a part of your family, then good things is going to happen. Amen. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus said unto him, "They have no wine." Jesus saith unto her, "Woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come." His mother saith unto the servants, "Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it." And there were set there 6 water pots of stone.
after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. And now that totals up to about 14.5 gallons of water apiece. So now these are pretty big tubs. These are pretty large vessels of stone. And it is a large crowd that's there at that wedding that used these many 6 water pots of 14.5 gallons of water apiece. Verse number 7, Jesus saith unto them, fill the water pots with water. And they filled them up to the brim. And he saith unto them, draw out now and bear unto the governor of the feast. And they bear it when the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine and knew not whence it was. But the servants which drew the water knew, and the governor of the feast called of the bridegroom, and saith unto him, every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, when that which is worse, have my friend, but now thou hast kept the good wine until now. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him. You can be seated tonight. Thank you for standing with us while we read the word of the Lord. Now this is the beginning of the miracles that Jesus performed while on earth. It is quite possibly one of the most understood or misunderstood miracles in the Bible. I have people use this passage as a justification for their drunkenness and for their sin and for their misbehavior. And absolutely there's nothing that could be further from the truth. The root word listed here for wine is the one that's used throughout the Bible for any fruit of the vine. And it's not the same word used in other places where there is fermentation and the warning of the scriptures that go along with it to avoid that wine. And in those references of the word translated wine here is combined with modifiers that denote the evil of it. The same word, my friend, is used for wine here that is also used for wine figuratively in the Bible or as an illustration in the Bible. Repeatedly in Revelation it is used for the wine of wrath, the wine of fornication, the wine of fierceness. And the truth is that wine is simply the squeezed fruit of the vine. It is, if you will, tonight, the blood of the grape. It is the blood of the grape. It is the production of the wondrous work of God in a nature to produce of the dirt and water a fruit that when it is crushed holds sweetness and hold joy. Amen. It's the likeness of the Lord Jesus and how he was squeezed and how he was crushed and how he was put under pressure. And my friend, he gave forth his blood and he passed around the cup at the Last Supper and said, take ye and drink, for this is my blood of the New Testament covenant that's given for you. And as oft as you do this, he said, do it in remembrance of me. And this wine shows us the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord did not promote the vice of drunkenness with his first miracle, but he used this occasion to show us a new day and a new time when our sweet Lord would usher in for those that trust him the gracious work of God in the salvation of men by the blood of Jesus Christ. Isn't it interesting that that Old Testament covenant, I thought I was getting cold a while ago, but I'm changing my mind right about now. That Old Testament covenant, and my friend, was a word with Moses as the testator of that Old Testament covenant. Now the first miracle of Moses when he was down there in Egypt was the turning of water into blood. He turned the Nile River and my friend, all the water into blood. He turned the water in all the water pots of the Egyptians into blood. And that blood brought death. That blood brought damnation. That blood brought destruction. Are you hearing me tonight? tonight. And Jesus said, the law came by Moses, the grace and truth by the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus comes on the scene, and just as Moses, his first miracle deals with the chains and the water, but whereas Moses changed it into blood that destroyed and that killed, and my friend that brought death, Jesus changed it, my friend, into wine that sustained, that blessed, that gave life and life more abundantly. I tell you, the letter of the law killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. Jesus came that you might have life. He came to turn a natural and my friend things. He came to turn something natural and something precious like water into something wonderful, and to throw his supernatural touch into something that brought joy. Jesus took on himself the house of a body of clay as something natural, and through the work of the Holy Ghost, and my friend in Jesus inhabiting that body, he used it for something supernatural, and he offered his body, my friend, and even his very soul, once and for all on the cross for our sin. And as God's grape was squeezed and the blood of Christ ran forth, and my friend, it offers life unto us, and offers joy and peace, and my friend, offers abundance unto us. I tell you, the Lord can turn your water into wine. He can turn your natural man, and he can take it and use it for something supernatural. He can make more of you than you would ever be without him. I tell you, he can do a work in your life. And my friend, work. The law looks at your flesh and the deeds of your life, and it cries, condemn, condemn. But my friend, the Christ of heaven looks at your life and the deeds of your flesh, and then looks at you through the blood of Christ, and it cries, redeem, redeem. Woo! Oh, bless his name. And the law came to condemn, but Christ came to redeem. Oh, bless the Lord. And so this first miracle shows us that the Lord has ushered in a new day. Oh, my friend. And this symbol of the New Testament, a turning of the water into wine, shows us joy. The law is like the water at the wedding. In the water, my friend, people could see their reflection of themselves. They could see who they were. They could see what they were like. But the water couldn't change who they were and what they were like. But what the law could not do, woo, in that it was weak through the flesh, and Christ coming and being manifested in the flesh, and my friend, did for us what we could not do for ourselves. Oh, I bless his name. I tell you, the law is a mirror, but it's not a mother. It took the supernatural work from the master's hand. But when God touched that water, it brought life. It brought joy. Oh, friend, it takes a word, touch, a word from the supernatural hand of God to change a man and to make him what God wants him to be. One man looked into the water pots filled with water, he saw himself. But when he looked in the water pots filled with wine, he saw the work of Christ. Amen. Oh, thank God. I mean, if God were to deal with us according to our iniquities and according to the abundance of our sins, we would all be in serious trouble. You said, I don't like this one and that one. And this one ain't done right and that one ain't done right. Well, friend, I got news for you. None of us hadn't done right. And if the Lord were to deal with us like we deal with one another, we'd all be in some serious trouble. But I'm glad He's not dealt with us according to the abundance of our iniquities. He's not dealt with us according to our shortcomings. He's not dealt with us according to our track record. Woo! But thank God, my friend, in mercy and in grace, He's extended pardon unto us and made of us something more than what we ever would have been had He not showed up in our lives when He did. Amen. That's exactly right. Then this is a fulfillment of prophecy in this passage. It was prophesied of Christ that He would wash His garments in wine in Genesis 49 and 11. The water, you see, was for washing had been turned into wine. The water that was for rinsing off the grime and the dirt of the world had been turned into wine. And the gospel call is given in Isaiah 55 and 1. Ho, ye that are thirsty, come to the water and buy wine. Come to the water and buy wine. He that hath no money, come and buy without money and without price, He said. What about that? Here these people are. They need wine. They want wine. And my friend, they don't have any money to pay with. They don't have any supplies to meet their need. And they are without and they're thirsty. And yet they come to the water and they buy wine without money. They come to the water and they get wine without price. I tell you, friend, listen, this was not something that they paid for. This wine was the gift of God and not of works, lest any man should boast. It's a fulfillment of prophecy. And they came to the water and bought wine. It was a powerful exhibition and the fulfillment of prophecy, and it is symbolic of the grace that we enjoy in Jesus Christ. Ain't that wonderful? And then I want you to notice something very specific now. There is a very interesting passage in this scripture in verse number 6. And there were set there 6 water pots of stone, after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. I'm interested tonight in these water pots that were set before the Lord. I mean, there were set there 6 water pots of stone. These verses speak of the vessels, the water pots. And I want to talk to you a little while about these water pots here tonight. Common though they may have been, when under the Master's direction, they became vessels of honor. 2 Timothy 2:20 said, but in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and earth, as some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself of these, that is the iniquities mentioned in the previous and subsequent verses, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the Master's use, and prepared unto every good work. I want to be like these water pots tonight, a vessel of honor unto the Master, a fit and set for the Master's use, that my life might manifest within it the power of God and the evidence of His work inside these pots, has showed the power of Christ, the evidence of His miracle, my friend, resided in the pots. And I want to be like unto them. And when God uses me in that way, it'll be like it was in verse 11 when it said, He manifested forth His glory. Your life can manifest forth the glory of Christ. Your life can show the power of Christ. Your life can show the miracle, a working capacity of our Lord. You can be a trophy of grace. You can be a display of His love. Your life can shine with the evidence of salvation's power in you, so others might glorify God.
Amen. And so I want to show you a few things about these pots, and I'm going to quit. I want to say, first of all, these pots were set. These pots were set. The Bible said, and there were set there 6 water pots of stone. Before the master was set these water pots, it would seem that their situation was such that they wanted wine. Maybe somebody should have made a run to the market. But instead, there were water pots set before the Lord. No wine bottles were set there, but water pots were set there, and they were set there on purpose. Others might have wondered, what in the world is he going to do with these? I mean, they need wine, not water. What's he going to do with a water pot? And if he's going to do something special, wouldn't he prefer better material to work with than what he's got? Wouldn't he prefer something more appropriate? But it was with providential purpose that these common pots were set before him. I tell you, man looks upon us and thinks if God would work, he'd need better material than what he's got in you and me to do anything with. He'd need something better than you and something better than me if he's going to work a miracle. Oh, my friend, that he purposely set us in place to be used for His glory. He has a perfect will for us, and He plans to use us. He saved us on purpose, with a purpose and for a purpose. There are no accidents. God knew what you were made of when He saved you, man. The world said if He'll ever do anything with anybody, it'll be that one, because of they're educated or because they're well-to-do or because they're well-spoken. And yet God takes the weak and beggarly elements of this world, and He uses those things, my friend, to confound the wise. He calls the things that are not as though they were. Woo! He uses common water pots, and my friend, like you and me, to work a miracle in us.
I had a fellow tell me not too many years ago about an old boy in town. He said if that old boy would ever get saved, he'd be make a real good Christian. Oh, amen. And what he was trying to say was that he thought a lot of the fella, that he was a good old boy, that he had a good manner about him, and that he had a good way with people. But I'm going to tell you, if anybody gets saved, they'll make a real good Christian. Amen. That's exactly right. God takes folks you don't think's got a chance and saves them and makes them real good Christians. Amen. Folks you wouldn't want to have nothing to do with, the Lord saves and makes them real good Christians. I mean, I preach to them fellows with stripes on the uniforms in prison every month. A lot of them's folks that you wouldn't want to shake their hand if you knew what they did. But I watched God save them and make them real good Christians. The world said he'll need more to work with. But I tell you, we're what he's got. And he's saving folks on purpose, with a purpose, for a purpose. And he wants to work a miracle in you. Amen.
Oh, yes. He set them. A place was made for them. And they were put in their place. Did you know God's got a place for you tonight? Hey man, he's got a place for you. Somebody said, I don't fit in with the world. I don't fit in down at this place. I don't fit in over at that place. I don't really belong with this crowd or with that crowd. I'm looking tonight. And my
friend, and a bunch of misfits. And amen, a mismatch. And my friend, a mush. I mean, a group of people tonight. And if we were to start over here and go all the way around the building, we'd find out everybody with different backgrounds, with different interests, with different levels of education, with different hobbies. But I tell you, there's something that makes us one. It's the wine that's in us. It's the blood of Jesus. It's the miracle of God. I call you my brother and my sister, not because we all got the same interest, but we all got the same Savior. And He'll save you and make a place for you and then put you in your place.
Amen. And their place was right smack dab in the middle of the miracle working ministry of Jesus Christ. What about that? Amen. Oh, how many times have these Jews walked by them water pots and didn't see anything special in them, not knowing that Jesus would use them to kick off His miracle ministry in Cana of Galilee. Ain't it wonderful, friend? How many times did folks pass by your life, shake their head, and say, well, that's one God will never be able to save. That's one God we'll not use. That's one that the Lord will never do anything with. And yet God had a place for you. And God had a purpose for you. Woo! And God saves you and puts you in this good way. I tell you, friend, it's a blessing to be in the witness and in the ministry of the Lord.
Amen.
These pots were set. And then I want to say secondly, these pots were six. It said there were set six water pots of stone. And now six is the number of man. This is found in verse number six. And my friend, in verse number seven starts, Jesus saith unto them. A man is found in verse number six. And Jesus is found in verse number seven. Six is the number of man. Seven is the signature number of God. In the 6 days God made all the heaven and earth and created man on the sixth day and breathed in his nostrils a breath of life and he became a living soul. But when he was made, though he was good, he was incomplete. And God said it's not good for that he might be alone. And so he made a helpmeet for him. And my friend, until the seventh day, creation's fullness was not realized until God had rested and called it complete and said that it was good. A man is the number of six and God's number is seven. Man is always short of God. He, my friend, is always has sinned and come short of the glory of God. The best man can do is a six, and God will always demand a seven. Without God in your life, you'll never measure up. Without God in your life, you'll never make heaven. Without God in your life, you'll never be. And my friend, for His glory, until the seventh day creation was not done. I mean, friend, the Jericho wall stood firm after 6 days. And after six times around the wall on the sixth day, all of man's sixes couldn't tear down the wall. But on the seventh day, and the seven times around the wall, on the seventh day, the wall came tumbling down. And Naaman dipped in the river Jordan six times and was still a full-blown leper. No better than after the first dip. But on the seventh time, he was clean. Amen. Woo! Man is the number of six and God is a perfect seven. The number of the beast is 666. The number of man three times. But Christ, my friend, as a member of the Godhead, that is a thrice holy God, while man is a six, and the beast is a 666, Father, Son, and Spirit is a 777. Amen. Oh, that's exactly right. Man is imperfect, short of the glory of God. Six is the number of man, the number of shortcomings.
And we are full of Him. God's working with imperfect vessels tonight. But He used the vessels that were filled with inadequacy and with imperfections. And He filled them with a miracle of God.
That's still what He does in saving sinners. He takes vessels filled with inadequacies and shortcomings and, my friend, inconsistencies and imperfections. And He fills them with a miracle of God. Oh, yes. There's a miracle in me. Amen. I have a miracle in me. These pots were six. Somebody said, I can't live it. You're right. You can't live it, but God can live it in you. If He moves in, He'll live it. And the life that I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and who gave Himself for me. He'll live it in you if you'll let Him move in. The pots were set. The pots were six. And I won't say the pots were stone. The Bible said they were set there. Six water pots of stone. These pots were stone. They were set in stone. They weren't changing. Matter of fact, they couldn't change. It was impossible for them to change. They couldn't be wineskins if they wanted to. They couldn't be wine bottles, no matter how much they tried. These people didn't need water. They wanted wine. And yet they said before Jesus, six water pots, and they were water pots of stone. Whenever Jesus said you'd take and bottle wine, He said you'd never take new wine and put it in old bottles or old wineskins. For He said they'd be brittle and they'd break. You see, they bottled up wines in leather coverings that had been treated in such a manner as to have elasticity and the ability to swell and contract, the capacity to change. But did you know Jesus put wine in a stone casing, something that was not only resistant to change, but completely unable to change? And even when Jesus did a work at the water pots, the pot still didn't change. But what is in the pot changed. Amen. The Lord didn't change this old pot. He didn't do a work on the pot. He did a work in the pot. Are you listening to me tonight? The Lord didn't do a work on us. He's done a work in us. He didn't change our outward man. He changed the inward man. Hey, thank God. He that hath begun a new work in you and shall perform it until the day of redemption. He's done a work in us. What they were, they would always be. They could not improve themselves. They couldn't make something else out of themselves. A man is the same, and he'll never make himself anything more than what he is. But the touch of the Master can fill him with great goodness. The vessel never changed, but something new is in us. I want to tell you something, friend. I've heard people say all my life, people don't change. And for years I preached that that was not true. But it is true. People don't change. And could they change? Jesus died in vain. Could you change? You don't need Jesus in your life. But since people don't change, it takes God to change people. Amen. Hey, and people don't change. And people can't change. But God can change people. And God does change people. He's done a work in us. There's something lives
than me. Are you listening? I'm nothing. I'm nobody. In my flesh dwelleth no good thing. But they sent me on me tonight. He lives in me. He lives in me. He dwells in my life. He's welcome in my heart. He's welcome in my home. I want him in my marriage. I want him in me. Amen. We're still the same earthen vessels, but something's new in us. I'll tell you, if we were picking out pots, would have rejected these for their lack of elasticity, their lack of an ability to change. Would have said, well, God will never save that person. They will never change. But when God puts something in them, it makes a miracle in their lives. And listen, friend, it's not that the pots were changed, but when you see the wine in the pot, you quit looking at the pot and start looking at the wine. Woo! I'm going to tell you, friend, the Lord has saved us. And my friend, now that you're born again, when people see you and Christ is manifested in your life, they don't see the pot, they see the wine. They don't see the natural man, they see the evidence of God's work. They see the move of the sweet Holy Ghost. We don't see the pot, we see the wine. Amen. When I was just a boy, Jimmy Milline, some of you from here knew him, and of course, all of them from Pine Ridge pretty much knew him. He was one of my heroes in my whole life. I mean, one of my heroes. And Jimmy Millines, I mean, he could lasso the moon and jump tall buildings in a single bound, and was faster than a speeding bullet, and mightier than a locomotive. I mean, he was my hero. I mean, I thought Jimmy Millines was the stuff. And the brother Jimmy stood and testified one Sunday morning and talked about how that when he's lost and undone, and how he's drinking and living rough, and how his little girl to come in the living room on Sunday after Sunday and ask him, would he go to church with them? And he'd tell her no time and again. On the way home that afternoon, as just a little boy, I asked my mom and dad, I said, who in the world was Jimmy talking about today? I know he wasn't talking about the Jimmy I know, because he's a good man and he's a godly man. And my mama said, son, what you don't realize is you've never known the real Jimmy. I said, God moved in, and what you're seeing now, Jesus. What they saw before was Jimmy. Woo! I'm going to tell you, we don't see the pot, we see the wine. Hey, friend, when you see somebody's life filled with the Holy Ghost, the Lord using them, the power of God on them, what you've seen is where God filled them up to the brim of wine, and they spilled over, and you got a taste of what God was doing in them, and you knew the Lord is there. It's not them, it's Jesus in them. Amen. These pots were stone. And then I will say, these pots were sanctification pots. These pots were water pots. They were washing pots. Did you realize when it says here, after the manner of the sanctifying of the Jews, or the purifying of the Jews, these were the wash pots. This was not drinking water. This is washing water. This was pots that they would wash their nasty dishes and their nasty utensils in. These were pots that they'd wash their nasty hands in to both ceremoniously and literally wash away the dirt of this world and to cleanse the flesh of my friend at the wedding. And that there was a big enough crowd to demand 14 and a half gallon pots, six of them just to wash in. and all of them for 3 days had washed in these same pots their nasty hands and their nasty dishes. And now God takes these same pots and this same water, and they've washed enough in this water that a little bit at a time's been taken out with their washing. And He takes in verse 7 and fills them the rest of the way up to the brim. Not only, friend, did He turn water into wine, He turned the dishwater into wine. He turned wash water into wine. He turned dirty water into wine. He turned water that you wouldn't even drink into wine that everybody could enjoy. Oh, my friend, God didn't just save good folks and save clean folks and save folks with a good history, but God saved dirty folks. God saved nasty folks. God saved, my friend, folks with a dirty record and with a long list of sin, and my friend, and turned it into wine. If you'd have looked at this water, you'd have said, there's no way I'm drinking that. But with His sweet command and precious forgiveness, my friend, He can do miracles. When they looked at that water after 3 days, they saw the evidence of their past nastiness and sin, and the dirt that floated in the water. As they looked in the water, they saw the evidence of the past days of their nasty flesh. And that, my friend, they were ashamed of their sin. But when Jesus turned the water into wine, they forgot about the filth the water had before. They forgot about the evidence of yesterday's sin. And they just enjoyed the wine of the right now. Somebody said, you don't know my past. You don't know what all I've done. I tell you what He can do. He can turn your water into wine. He can make you forget yesterday's sin and enjoy today's miracle. He can make you forget yesterday's sin and enjoy today's grace in your life. Amen. Jesus took pots filled with dirt, grime, and dishonor and changed them into vessels filled with honor and glory unto Him. Surely as these pots were filled with nasty water before, they were filled with wine afterward. Hey, friend, He talked to the Galatians, or rather to the Romans in chapter 6, and He talked about how they had yielded themselves, as of my friend, members of the flesh, unto unrighteousness and iniquity unto iniquity. So yield ye yourselves also as the servants of righteousness unto holiness. In other words, you've been a real good sinner, and now that Jesus has saved you, give Him your all and be a real good Christian. Yeah. Sanctification pots. And then I want to finish with this. The pots were served from. The pots were served from. The pots were filled. And this filling was not for show. It was for service. It is remarkable how many people think and seem to act like the reason why that God filled them for the Holy Ghost was so they could show out. But the Lord didn't fill you for show. He filled us for service. He filled us to be used for His honor and for His glory. These vessels became vessels of honor. They served the Lord's purpose. The master of the feast didn't even know where the wine came from. Hey, he didn't know that the wine came from these water pots. They served, my friend. In verse 8, they drew out and bore it to the governor of the feast. The ruler didn't know where it came from in verse 9, that the servants knew, and that, my friend, the Lord Jesus knew. The members of the feast were not aware, but Jesus knew. And my friend, nobody else knew the place of the pots in the story. All they knew was the evidence of the wine in the story. Somebody said, nobody even knows who I am. Nobody's paid attention to what I've done. Nobody's recognized me. They've ignored me. They've not patted me on the back. Hey, friend, the world may not know, but Jesus knows your place in the story. Jesus knows your place in the miracle. Jesus knows your place in the work. And He's making eternal notes. And He's making a record that He's going to deal with one of these days. Jesus knows. There's a story of an old missionary was coming home from the field after many, many years in dangerous terrain. And he happened to fly home on a plane with the war hero that is coming home from the foreign field. And when he landed in New York City, they began to have a parade for that war hero. And everybody was cheering for that war hero. Hooray! Oh, they're cheering for him. The president was there to meet up with him and give him medals. They had a ticker tape parade. Confetti a falling from the sky as he rode down the street. And everybody clapped. And everybody cheered. And everybody honored that war hero. And this missionary, without fanfare, and without anyone there to greet him, and without anybody giving him a parade, and with nobody pinning medals on his chest, and with nobody recognizing the work he'd done, and the some 30-some-odd years of his life that he had sacrificed on the foreign field for the Lord. And my friend, he stepped off of the airplane and went in quietness and solitude and to his hotel room that night. There in the room he prayed and said, Lord, why is it that this man gets all of this? I've been shot at just like him. I've tried to be a good soldier in your army. I've tried to be true. And seems like nobody even knows what I've done. Nobody's even paid attention. Nobody even knows where I fit in the story. And the Lord said, son, don't you worry about that. I know. And I've made a record. And I'm getting the Golden Street Parade ready. And we're cutting up the confetti right now. And a crown's waiting for you. And a medal will pin on your chest. And the world may not recognize what you've done. But I know your place in the story. I tell you, it don't matter what men know. It doesn't matter what the world knows. It matters what Jesus knows. Just serve God. Just be faithful to God. Just live for God. Just present yourself unto God. And let God work a miracle in you. And He'll take care of all the glory in His time. And in His way. I praise the Lord for a place in the work of the Lord. Amen. Somebody said, I sure would like to pastor that big church. I'm going to tell you, I don't hardly know what to do with the one I got most of the time. Amen. That's exactly right. I wouldn't know what to do with the big church. Amen. And I got news for you. They don't know what to do with me neither. Amen. Somebody from truth ought to say amen to that. They wouldn't know what to do with me either. Amen. But God's put me where I am in His purpose, and in His perfect will. And I'm glad to be where I am. I'm glad to be where I am tonight. I'm glad to be preaching what I'm preaching. I'm thankful to be in His purpose, to be serving in His ministry. I didn't come tonight to sing you a sad story or to tell a sad song. I'm my friend or to file a complaint. I came to say thank you, Lord, for having counted me faithful and putting me in the ministry. I'm glad I'm an old-time Christian tonight. I'm thankful to be an old-time preacher. I'm not ashamed to be in the work of the Lord. I praise His blessed name for what He's done in my life. I bless the Lord for it. I wonder tonight, are you satisfied where you are in the work of God?
Are you certain you're in the perfect will of God for your life? Are you satisfied you've done exactly what God wants you to do with your life? Have you presented yourself for the Father's use? You say, I'm not much, and I don't think I can change. That's all right. You'll fit right in to the miracle working ministry of Christ. He's got a place for somebody just like you. If you'll present yourself for His use, He'll help you and He'll use you tonight if you'll serve Him with honesty. It's yours, preacher. I've tried to obey the Lord tonight.
Amen. Let's stand together. I want us to sing, What Can Wash Away My Sin? Nothing but the blood. Nothing but the blood. No substitute. A lot of things look like it. Maybe even some things act like it. Nothing but the blood. Nothing but the blood. The miracle was performed by Jesus. Actions were put forth. Efforts were put forth. But the miracle was done by Jesus. Well, that tells me something. If you get home, you got to go by the way of the cross. Amen. Let's sing this. You need to pray tonight. We got time to pray for you. Amen. Everybody in the house sing right out of your heart. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's sing it. Amen. Now tomorrow morning, the Lord willing, we'll meet back again at 10 o'clock to worship the Lord, to enjoy what God has for us. Appreciate these men who brought the messages today. Appreciate the singing. Amen. And you know, every one of us ought to look up and say, I appreciate the touch of God.
Amen.
If God has really touched
Amen.
You.
Yeah.
If God's really touched you, you ought to say, I appreciate the touch of God.
Yes, sir.
Yep. You know, somebody tell you you're lost, it may not be so. Somebody might tell you you're saved. May not be so. But when you get that touch, it's the evidence. It's the evidence that it's real. I appreciate again this privilege we have of this camp meeting. I was sitting there thinking tonight while the preachers were preaching and the service was going on. I remember a number of years ago, when I longed for a camp meeting like this, Brother Toby. I longed for it. I wanted to see one. I wanted to be involved in one. And it seemed like I found such a little interest around over the country. And today, God has brought us, separated us, brought us together. Let us have a real feeling contempt meeting from God to enjoy it. Unworthy am I, but He loved me. But He loved me. I miss those who are not here. That's up to them and God, but I'm here. And I'm having a good time in the Lord. But I'll promise you this, and I hope you take this home with you and ponder over it. If you don't make preparations and you don't make plans to go to the Lord's house, you'll not go.
Amen.
Could I say that again?
Amen.
If you don't make an effort and you don't make plan, you won't go. And if you don't go, your life is empty. Anybody hearing me tonight?
Amen.
It's true. It's true. Well, throw up your hands and holler calf rope to the Holy Ghost and you'll enjoy living.
Amen.
That's right. The Lord bless you. Service beginning in the morning at 10 o'clock. Meet us back. Come back in the name of the Lord. And I know for a benediction, we'll be wherever you go. Serve the Lord. Trust